The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Now when the Pharisees and some of the scribes, who had come down from Jerusalem, gathered around Jesus, they noticed that some of his disciples were eating with defiled hands, that is, without washing them. For the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they thoroughly wash their hands, thus observing the tradition of the elders. And they do not eat anything from the market unless it is washed. And there is also many other traditions that they observe, the washing of cups, pots, and bronze kettles. So the Pharisees and the scribes ask him, "Why do your disciples not live according to the tradition of the elders, but eat with defiled hands?" He said to them, "Isaiah prophesies rightly about you hypocrites, as it was written, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching human precepts as doctrines.' You abandon the commandment of God and hold to the human tradition." Then he called the crowd again and said to them, "Listen to me, all of you, and understand. There is nothing outside a person that by going in can defile, but the things that come out are what defile. From it is from within, from the human heart, that evil intentions come: fornication, theft, murder, adultery, avarice, wickedness, deceit, licentiousness, envy, slander, pride, folly. All these evil things come from within, and they defile a person." The Gospel of the Lord. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Please be seated. Now that I am back from sabbatical, and I am finally beginning to connect with some of the new people that have come to Christ the King while I was gone, seeing our church from a fresh set of eyes has always fascinated and inspired and informed me. What do I mean by this? Well, let me explain. For those of you that have been at Christ the King for a while, you have probably grown accustomed to our traditions and terminology in the Episcopal Church. Either that or you're just faking it. That could be a possibility. What we sometimes forget is that many new people coming to our church are not familiar with our traditions and terminology. That's right, not everyone that comes through our doors is a cradle Episcopalian. I know that shocks you. One example about terminology appears on the front of all of our bulletins. Look at the front cover of your bulletin. Just look at it. At the bottom, it states my name, and then says after it, rector, and then in parentheses, it says head pastor. Now, the reason I put head pastor in parentheses is because many people have no idea what a rector is, and then their imaginations go wandering. The term primarily is used in the Episcopal Anglican Church, but sometimes in the Roman Church, to mean head pastor. This week, I met with one of our new members to talk about the Episcopal Church and our church in particular. They thanked me profusely for explaining what rector was in front of the bulletin, and added that they loved our full bulletin. They explained how it allowed them to worship for the first time. When they came here the first time, they could actually worship with Christ the King. Other churches they had been to, the worship was not easy to follow, and they didn't feel connected. When I first came to Christ the King 8 years ago, during a simply putting on head pastor after rector and creating a full bulletin to make it easier for people to worship God without understanding the intricacies of the Book of Common Prayer and the 1982 hymnal, was not met with full enthusiasm by all. Again, I'm sure you're shocked. Why would that be? Well, I was changing some of the human traditions of this church so that all worshipers could experience God in their worship instead of trying to figure out which book to pull out of the pew next, not to mention what page to go to. I love the traditions of the Episcopal Church. They inform and enhance our worship and help to point to the glory of God when we worship together. But they should never, ever be our main focus. Our church traditions are not God's law for us. Remember, our traditions are human-made and should never be considered more important than following God's law. If one of the candles doesn't light behind me, it's not the end of the world. God doesn't really need our candles, okay? Bringing down barriers in our world and truly understanding God's will for each of us is something Jesus focused on throughout his ministry on earth. In our gospel reading from Mark, Jesus deals with the topic of religious traditions. Our reading begins this way. When the Pharisees and some of the scribes who had come from Jerusalem gathered around him, meaning Jesus, they noticed that some of his disciples were eating with defiled hands, that is, without washing them. Well, let me set the scene for the gospel. These Pharisees were not trying to be moms, okay? Go wash your hands before dinner. No. Jesus is teaching in and around the Sea of Galilee, some 60 miles north of Jerusalem. Traveling 60 miles into first century Palestine took a couple days, 2 or 3 days, to get that far. After traveling this long distance from Jerusalem, you would think that the Pharisees and the scribes would mainly be interested in Jesus' teachings and maybe some of the miracles that they heard Jesus perform. But instead, their first question to Jesus is this: why do your disciples not live according to the tradition of the elders, but eat with defiled hands? The tradition that the Pharisees and the scribes are asking about, by their own words, is not the tradition passed down from God, but human origin, the tradition of the elders, something that we got cautioned by in our Old Testament reading this morning. The oral traditions and the oral law of the Jewish elder leaders were not the laws of the Torah, those written in the first books of the Old Testament. They were not the law of God, not the Ten Commandments. Rather, these were the traditions that had evolved over time. God's word does have priests washing their hands before they sacrifice to God in Exodus chapter 30, but it's only the priest. That's where we get our tradition when we do Holy Communion, when the priest ceremonially washes their hands. The little sprinkling of water from that is not going to wash my hands. That's why I use the Germex instead. In Psalm 24, it states, "Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? And who shall stand in his holy place?" And the psalmist answers these questions: "He who hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully." It's more than just about washing hands. It's about coming to God with a clean heart. And that's what the psalmist is trying to talk about. God's word inspired the oral laws of the elders initially to help the Jews live a holy and devout life as they were dispersed among all other religions, cultures, and traditions. But as time went on, the traditions and the oral laws took a life of their own. Along the way, the oral traditions became a burden to the people, a way of controlling them. And Jesus came to set things straight on access to God, not by keeping rituals and traditions, but having a heart for God. Before we throw rocks, so to speak, at the Pharisees and the scribes in Jesus' time, we have to ask ourselves some hard questions too. As Christians, have Christians ever made up rules and regulations on how people should live? Things not found in God's word? You bet we have. Some Christian churches today even call dancing and alcohol as sins. Yet in 2 Samuel chapter 6, it says, "And David danced before the Lord with all his might, wearing a priestly garment." Now, don't get your hopes up. I'm not going to be dancing today. Okay? Maybe after I get a new hip, I might be dancing for you, but not today. And then there is the thing of alcohol. How can Christians ignore that Jesus' first miracle was turning water into wine at the wedding in Cana? Jesus drank wine, probably not to excess, but we know for sure that he drank wine because our Holy Communion is based on Jesus' example for us at the Last Supper, where wine was a very big part of it. We always need to be looking at our traditions in our church and ask hard questions. Are traditions leading people to a deeper relationship with God, or are they putting up barriers and burden on the people? When Jesus calls the Pharisees hypocrites, Jesus reminds them what was written by the prophet Isaiah. "This people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching human precepts as doctrines." Then Jesus adds, "You abandon the commandment of God and hold to human tradition." We can go through the outward motions of human traditions in our church and in our worship and completely forget God's law and commandments. The Jewish purity traditions of washing hands, food from the market, cups and pots and bronze kettles had nothing to do with hygiene, but were done to keep the Jew pure in the sight of God, just in case there was a Gentile in the market that may have touched their food or their cup or whatever. These purity laws, some 600 plus oral laws of the Jewish elders, in practice functioned to oppress the people. No one could keep them all, not even the elders or the Pharisees. The Pharisees and scribes in our reading didn't travel 60 miles just to hear Jesus. They came to entrap him. He not only threatened their authority, but their livelihood and the control over they had of people. Jesus' disregard for their purity laws began to bring down their protective walls and threaten their way of life. I know how hard it is for Episcopalians to change traditions passed down from nearly 250 years or even 50 years. Remember that the joke of, you can't change that light bulb. My grandmother gave that light bulb. Yeah, it doesn't matter, it's burnt out. Imagine trying to change traditions based over thousands of years. That was Jesus' task. In his ministry, Jesus touches the untouchables. He speaks to those that they didn't normally speak to, the unspeakable. And he brings hope to the forgotten in society. Jesus simplifies God's law for us in Mark chapter 12 when he commands us first to love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. And the second is to love your neighbor as yourself. If we did those two things, we wouldn't have any problems in our world. The initial audience of Mark's gospel was Christians living in Rome. And many of these people were converted Gentiles, unfamiliar with Jewish purity laws. Jesus is telling them, as well as us today in this gospel, that purity and holiness is not determined by washing hands or bowls or what we eat. Purity and holiness comes within, from the hearts and from the minds. For new people coming to our church, especially from those from non-liturgical traditions, we bombard them with traditions in our services, don't we? Just consider our pew aerobics, you know, what we've termed when you stand and sit and kneel and stand and sit, and you get the picture. Why do we do this? Well, you may think it's to keep everybody awake. That's maybe one. Or it's our Episcopal way of exercise. But there are reasons, and they are traditions. We stand to praise, pray, and to show respect. We sit to listen and to learn. We kneel to be humble and repent. There is a reason for our pew aerobics, but even with the reasons, if someone physically cannot match our traditions, like myself, does that make them less Christian or less Episcopalian? No. These traditions are man-made, not God-made, and we should never make anyone feel uncomfortable in our worship, which is why we always say, as able, no one needs to feel left out in our worship. In our gospel reading, Jesus educates us about what separates our hearts from God. God does not want us to go through the motions of worship, but to actually be engaged in our worship with our hearts, our minds, our strength, and our soul. Washing our hands before we eat is probably a good idea, keeping us healthy, but it's never had eternal significance. Letting God into our hearts keeps at bay the evil intentions that come from within us. May our prayer always be to keep God first within us and see tradition not as an end in itself, but a way to outwardly express to God what lives in our hearts. Amen.